Hi, my name is Molly and this is the International Jukebox Radio Show. And this is a special episode for Black History Month called Getting Candid About Race. I'm here with...
Sade.
Nicole.
Okay, so first question.
This is going to be a little Q&A. Just a disclaimer, this is all our personal opinions about race. So it's fine if you don't agree with them, they're just personal to us. Anything to add?
Yeah, and I think something that is important to disclose, since they won't be able to tell from our voice, is this is our personal experiences as Black people.
Exactly. I'm mixed race. I'm half Nigerian and half English.
I'm mixed race. I mostly just say I'm Black, but I'm also Indian, Cuban and Chinese.
Nice. And Molly?
White. Okay. What is the most racist thing anyone has ever said to you?
We're starting with the...
I think you should go
intense
first.
Questions. For me, no one's really said anything overtly racist to me. Like, I've never been called the N-word. But what really does annoy me is I get called a coconut quite a lot. And for people who don't know what that is, it means that I'm quote marking this with my hands, white on the inside but brown or black on the outside. So that means I'm stereotypically acting white. But it really gets me because they're sort of saying that I'm trying to dismiss or neglect one of my cultures, my Nigerian culture. Yeah. So that's why it really gets to me. Have you ever been called a coconut before?
I haven't, but the thing that annoys me so much about that term and other terms like it is just it's usually used towards Black people who are intelligent or well-spoken.
Exactly.
So it kind of the term means that being Black isn't associated with intelligence, and it's just
exactly.
Insulting.
It's very insulting.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, the most racist thing anyone has ever said to me, it's actually quite shocking, and I was like a baby when this happened, so you know, it wasn't provoked in any way. When I say baby, I mean like fresh out the womb. I don't even know if I can't say the words.
Just say
I was referred to as my father's N-word and then P-word, which was usually a slur used against South Asians, baby. The P-word is like four letters long, if that helps you guys guess what it is. Now I've experienced racism quite a bit, but that would be the most racist thing, especially since I was just like a baby. Yeah.
Okay, so following on from like part being mixed race, what do you think about the question, where are you from?
See, this question has been cropping up quite a lot lately.
Definitely.
Like, I did it for an essay competition. It was in Afua Hirsch's book, British. I strongly recommend that book. It's really good. I never know what to say. Obviously, being mixed race and then living in England, I never know what people are actually trying to ask. Are they looking for where you live, where you were born, what your ethnicity is? But I always have to ask a question back to clarify what they mean.
Yeah, definitely.
But if I'm in a different country, or if it's, I don't know, and I say I'm English, people just look at me and think, not what I really meant. Like, where are you really from?
That's the follow-on question that gets me.
Exactly. And if I say I'm English, people just look at me like, are you sure about that? So I normally tend to say British, because I think British is used more as a multicultural concept, because I think stereotypically English is more intertwined with ethnicity and race, because when you think English, some people tend to think of white. When you say British, that's what more minority ethnic people use. So for example, last year, this is just because I was completely curious, I asked lots of people in the Harding, where would you say you're from? And then I specifically said nationality. And I'm not joking, at the time, every ethnic minority person I asked said British. Every single white person I asked is English. If that's not a correlation, I don't know what is.
Yeah, for me, I don't mind the question, so to speak. It's really, if I say British and people take it and leave it, then that's fine. But then if I say British and then they're like, no, but where are you really from? Or like, what else are you from? And then it's the follow-up comments after. It's like, oh, that's exotic. It's just like, whoa.
True, then.
Tropical.
Like a fruit.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, definitely. That is genuinely a question that I get asked a lot.
Yeah, I feel like if you're curious about where someone is from just ethnically,
ask them. Well, personally, I don't get offended if you ask, what's your ethnicity?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be offended. I'll ask you rather than trying to kind of creep and walk on eggshells about.
Yeah, definitely.
Trying to find out about it. I'll just tell you.
Yeah, just ask, like, what's your ethnicity?
Definitely.
Okay. That was actually pretty interesting. I didn't sort of realise all those sorts of different ways that people ask you trying to get one question out. But does it bother you that you're in the minority at school? Like, in college in particular?
Do you want to start or should I start?
I'll start, I guess.
Yeah.
Personally, it doesn't bother me until situations get kind of awkward, until, like, there's a word someone can't read in a book, or we're talking about race and someone just, you know, looks over their shoulder and looks at me. Because I've, in all my other schools, I've never been the ethnic minority. There's always been, like, a balance. And even when there were white people, it wasn't, like, most of the time it wasn't English white people. It was Polish or Russian or, like, a different place. So it's, everyone was kind of other, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think it's the same for my school. Like, my last school, there were a lot of South Asians there. There were a lot of white people, but I never felt like I was in the minority in just in terms of looks and complexion, I would say. Because there were two other mixed race girls and there was one black girl. So technically, my race was the minority, but I never felt singled out in any way because I was never the only black or mixed race person in the classroom.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like, I was never the one you could point out, oh, like, that black girl, because... You know, it happens because that's the easy identifier whilst you're here, and it's kind of uncomfortable, but I wouldn't say it really bothers me.
I wouldn't say it bothers me either.
Yeah, it's not something I think about much.
Like I said, no one's ever been racist to me here.
Yeah, you just accept that you're the minority and move on. Exactly. There's not much else
to do. I wouldn't say it's really impacted my life here as per se.
That's pretty interesting. I don't know, I thought that it would, but there we go. Well, you know, just because even if you know that you are, it can still have an impact.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do get, if you're talking about race in a classroom or something, you do feel like stares. That one time in chapel, I think I was speaking to someone, I think it was about Black History Month last year. Did you feel people like staring at you in
chapel?
Yeah,
you kind of get a few glances.
Okay. Is there any situation in which you believe it's permissible to say a racial slur?
I'm going to start. Personally, no. I mean, there is no situation in this school that anyone needs to say it. And I remember last year somebody mentioned to me, totally wrong setting as well, and they were like, oh, I have to say it in my English. Like, I have to read this out. And I was just like, no, you don't. So it's just like, if there are texts like this, I feel like, you know, you just don't need to say it. Obviously, I'm not gonna like cry if it's in a movie, that's totally fine, but I just don't think there is, especially not for the type of people that will be listening to this.
I don't think there is, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that was, I didn't think there would be, but it seemed, it's good to like, the clarification. Why is it that most of the bursary students at the school are black, do you think? Or are they as well?
Well, most of them are, not all of them. But I think this is more coincidence than anything, because obviously the bursary students, they're looking for them in schools in low-income areas. And now this is kind of like reflective of the demographics in these low-income areas. But it's not like the school purposely looks for black students. It's just, I mean, personally for my story, this kind of sound cocky, but they looked for one of the smartest students at my school, and particularly a girl because of the Harding, and I just happened to be black. It wasn't that they went out of their way to look for a black student, you know?
Yeah, I agree with what Nicole's saying. I don't know too much about it, but I agree with everything you've just said.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so it's just sort of more of a coincidence rather than anything else.
It's not like the school's trying to fill two quotas at once. It just happens.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, next question. I think this is really prevalent with COVID and online learning. Do you believe racism affects people more online or in person?
Oh, you've got to say both to that. I mean, either way, racism it really does affect your mental health.
Yeah.
I think in person it's a lot more confrontational. You feel it a lot more. But I think online there's no name. There's no face to the name. So you don't know where it's coming from. At least in person you know who it is and you can know who to avoid. But I would say they're both as bad as each other, honestly. It just shouldn't happen.
Sorry. I personally believe that it's worse when you experience in person, because I mean it's just so much more shocking when somebody actually has the guts to say it to your face. But then online it just happens so much more often that it builds up to the same amount of impact on you.
No, definitely.
Yeah, so it's bad in both cases. Prevalent and bad in both cases.
What do you think is political blackness?
I'm pretty sure the question was, what do you think of, unless it was miswritten, which would be my fault. But political blackness is a term to refer to all ethnic minority groups. I just came across this term and I'm not a massive fan of it at all. I just think it condenses such a big issue way too much.
Definitely. I only came across it today, in fact. But yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like different ethnic minorities have different experiences and you can't
equate them.
Exactly. And you can't really just push them all into one corner because it just isn't fair and it's not right. It isn't doesn't reflect the actual issues at all.
Yeah.
It's just a word that's just not...
We personally don't agree with the term. It depends what context it's being used, but overall I would need to do more research into how it's being used, but just initial thoughts is I'm not really liking it.
Well, that's the thing, is that it has really gone out of fashion. I think the height of it was in 2015, 2016, and people just have stopped using it because it hasn't been received well. And just as a term, while it may have good origins and good intentions, it's just, I don't know, I just don't like it at all.
No.
Fair enough.
What do you think about COVID-19 disproportionately affecting BME?
That's an interesting question, actually. I mean, you watch it on the news and you're seeing a lot more people from the BME group are dying and you've got to think why that is. I mean, I've had lots of conversations about why that might be. Is it genetic makeup? Is it biological? Is it... Oh, if you don't know what BME is, black and minority ethnic. is that because of the socioeconomic... their situation, is it biological? But I think there are ongoing debates about why that is. I think there's definitely more research going into it.
Yeah. Something that I've seen quite a bit when it comes to this issue is loads of people blaming it on social factors or socioeconomic factors. It's just they're all poor, of course they're gonna get it. Or just blaming it on family structures of ethnic minorities, more specifically South Asians. You find a lot people just they live with their extended families, so they're going to cause it. And I just think it's really hypocritical, especially from the government, when they're mixing with their own families and not following their own rules. But I think this is something that needs to have actual scientific research, because right now, whilst the media is discussing it, I feel like it's
being negatively covered, I would say. Yeah. The media has a big role into play. They play a big role in racism and how they just portray certain stories. I saw this thing about, I think it's about a footballer, and they were comparing the two headlines, and one of them was this footballer buys a new house for his mum. Then the other one was, I'm not sure if I'm quoting this directly, but it was just, they pretty much did the same thing, but it just negatively portrayed the black footballer. And I just think it wasn't.
Yeah,
right.
You see that all the time. I mean, this is such a stereotypical example, but with Meghan Markle, I know they slander her for everything they allow Kate. Is that they allow her to get away with. So it's like her dress sense and stuff like that. I just used the media does this a lot, and it does have a lot of biases.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about the whole Megxit? I'm not I came across that term. have you heard of that term? About Harry and Meghan leaving the royal family to a certain extent. Like, what role do you think that the media played in their exit?
I kind of feel like Harry was going to leave anyway. He didn't seem, I don't know personally, of course I'm not best buddies with the prince, but I thought he would have left at some point. But I think it was just all of the abuse that Meghan was getting. I think it was good that they left, and they should have done it.
And on the flip side, it never should have happened in the first place.
Exactly. There shouldn't have been so much abuse towards her online. It just wasn't fair. And I mean, it wouldn't have happened if she was white. And I'm going to say that with confidence.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the media was harsh on Kate, but they were nowhere near as bad as they were on Meghan. And they were pretty much in the same situation, joining the royal family, like dating a prince.
Yeah.
But they were so much harsher on Meghan when they really did not need to be.
Yeah, they're always going to criticize someone new, especially when it's coming into the royal family. But I mean, the way in which they did it was her every single move was monitored and then slandered.
Like, oh, she's such an actress. She's just acting the part. She's acting like she's in love with Prince Harry. What's her agenda? What's this? What's that?
Like, I don't know if it was.
Please leave her alone.
Exactly. I don't know if it was the Daily Mail or something, but they did a whole piece on her, like, I think it was not closing her own car door. It was like she waited for Harry to do it. It was just like, is this really news?
I know. Anyway, I've just found the headline articles about what I was talking about with the footballers. So the one talking about the white footballer was Manchester City starlet Phil Foden buys new £2 million home for his mum. However, the headline about the black footballer, young Manchester City footballer, 20, on £25,000 a week, splashes out on mansion on market for £2.25 million, despite having never started a Premier League match. I mean, you can see how they're wildly different.
Yeah, I don't even see the... I don't know, I'm at a bit of a loss for words. I don't see the importance in reporting on either.
I don't see the need for it.
Yeah, or the need for slandering him in that way, especially from... was it the same newspaper?
I think so.
Yeah. Whilst we're on the topic of the media, something that I have noticed a lot recently, especially during the Black Lives Matter movement, is the media tries to make the demands that black people have at the moment seem ridiculous, so that it has less support. I mean, I think there was a TV show on Netflix, and one of the women had done a mud mask in one of the earlier episodes, and it's like Netflix have removed the episode with the mud mask. I mean, we're not idiots. We know the difference between blackface and mud masks.
Yeah.
And literally nobody had asked for that. So it's just things like this, so that people can sit down in their homes and be comfortable with saying, oh, I don't support the movement. It's not gaining anything real. It's just, oh, I really don't like it. Oh, and also they only you can see like the marches were still happening for, so I don't even know if they are still happening, but yeah, they're not getting reported on because they're not as
honestly, they were only, I was watching CNN, they were only really reporting the violent ones, and I had to really dig deep online. There were so many beautiful, peaceful protests really honoring his memory, and those were just hardly being covered.
Yeah, I mean, there
by
was
mainstream media. It was more individuals covering that.
Exactly. There was this, it was a form of protest, but really it was just like a violin show for Elijah McClain at NYU recently, and it was just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Like, I'm pretty sure I cried. And you know, there was no coverage on that because nobody was interested in seeing, you know, actual mourning for these people. It was more just demonizing black people so that, you know, they can continue to get away with it or just don't have to address it.
Yeah. Anything to add, Molly? Any thoughts?
I didn't really... I just read the news with when they was doing the
protests, I didn't really look further to see anything that was.
What you saw, would you say it was more negative or more positive about the whole movement from what you just initially saw?
You could only see the violence in it.
Yeah.
I think the big thing I saw is when they took down that statue down in Bristol, when they pulled it down, and I think they threw it in the river.
That was funny.
But I did hear, I can't remember who exactly it was, but there was a talk show and somebody was saying how they believed it was going away from the actual issues at play.
Yeah,
they
definitely.
They said that it didn't really matter that a guy so many years ago helped the slave trade. Obviously that is a pertinent issue, but the reason what we should be focused on now is how, when I think it was Oxford did a study and they sent out identical CVs just with different ethnicities, and the ones that got accepted that were, I think it was like South Asian, they were far less than the ones that were white, and it was exactly the same CV but just changing the ethnicity.
Really?
Mm. That is quite interesting. But I mean, with the statues, on a lot of them, I don't feel the need for a statue of, you know, like, I can't remember the name of the man that was there, but I don't see the need of a statue of someone like that. I just don't see the importance of it being like in the middle of such a busy centre. It was, I can't remember, but so I don't really see why people are so angry at like tearing it down, because it's like, oh, but what about the history of it? Well, people have learned the history, and it's not that they never want to hear it again. It's that for a lot of people it's painful, and for a lot of people it's not something you want to be reminded of. I mean, like, yeah, you can say he did great things, but why does it matter to so much to have a statue of him? Because I'm almost certain half of the people just walked past that statue and didn't give it a second thought. It was just a part of the town. You carry on walking. You don't look at it. You don't read the plaque. You don't go home and research him. That isn't taking away history. It's just, I don't know, I feel like it's more of a comfort thing than anything.
But I think what's good about the Black Lives Matter movement, it's really engaged a lot more people, and people are so much more willing and open to educate themselves on such important issues such as racial inequality. And I think it's really been beneficial, just the whole Black Lives Matter movement. Obviously the peaceful side of it, it's just created a lot more awareness.
I personally don't disagree with a lot of the violent protests. I mean, I don't see the benefits in looting, but I understand it. I mean, people are dying and it's being ignored. If my child was killed by the police, and if I had to burn a city down for people to listen, I would burn the city down. I mean, it's not just like you hurt my feelings and I went and, you know, set the Tesco on fire. People are being systemically murdered, and the system is supporting it. So if it takes a city to burn or a target to burn, then so be it, because that's the only time people are listening. Oh my gosh, some people have really annoyed me with this. They're like, oh, but like economically this is so bad and there's no reason for it, but then they go on to talk about how great the British Empire was, and it was just like, are you not really understand, is it violence only bad when it's against one certain group? Are you not seeing the comparisons here? And then it's just like, they reported so much on the, I think it was the target being set on fire, but then I'll find the exact thing so I'm not misquoting, but I mean, there was a black neighborhood set on fire in America, and it wasn't even like 100 years ago. So I'm not saying that it was the 1920s and they should still be angry about it, but it was recent enough that people should know about it and it should be common knowledge, but it really just isn't. And it's just, you see the type of things that people really do care about, whether or not it's human rights or, you know, the fact that somebody has to rebuild a building.
Yeah, and talking about imperialism and the British Empire, do you think that people tend to focus on the lasting effects of it and never what it took to actually create the empire?
I think for some people it's just blind patriotism, is that the word? Yeah. So it's just, yeah, the UK, England is so great. I mean, we've ruled the world. But then it's just like, but yeah, you ruled the world, but so many people died. And we look at these countries now, we refer to them as low income countries, politically unstable. And it's just, there are so many lasting effects of the colonization of these countries, and that people are still not considering them. And I personally believe there's a responsibility of countries who colonize them. Personally, I believe Belgium needs to be more involved in the Republic of Congo currently, because it's just, you see it in the news and it's just referred to as politically unstable. But I mean, when Belgium was in the Congo, they killed over 10 million people. And it isn't common knowledge. They killed over 10 million people. There were different tribes. They didn't all speak the same language. And then they just left when it was good for them. And now they're left in the state, and there's no, well, I'm sure there is some, but there's not enough involvement of the ex-empire states at all.
And just talking about history, and then moving over to Black history, what I find quite annoying to a certain extent is that when people think of Black history, what they immediately think of is slavery. I'm sorry, but that is not only what Black history is. There have been so many incredible Black individuals have really helped just create so many of the things that we use today. Like, look, Nicole and I were watching Hidden Figures yesterday,
yeah,
with the third form. We did a little Q&A after, but just looking at the stories of like Katherine Johnson, who was so involved with the launch of Friendship 7, and they were, it's called Hidden Figures for a reason. It shows intent of,
yeah,
they wanted to hide her behind all these brilliant white men, quote marks. when she was actually, well, where the film displayed her as doing most of the work. So it's just examples like that. And it's based on a true story. Hidden Figures is a really good film. Recommend it. So many individuals like that who are just not recognised and really should be.
Back to what I was saying earlier about the city in America. The police in America in 1985 bombed a neighborhood in Philadelphia, and 11 people died, 5 of which were children. And this is 1985. I mean, this is within our parents' lifetimes. This isn't old history. This is recent history. These are recent events. And it was just to cut down a Black liberation group. And it's just, why don't people know about this?
Exactly, because the media's not covering it.
But you can ask any person who knows anything about the Black Lives Matter movement, and they'll know about the violent protests, they'll know about the buildings that have been burnt. And it's just, why does it matter that a multi-billion company has one of its locations burnt that they have insurance for, but you don't know about, you know, the 5 children that were killed so that the police could stop a Black liberation group? It wasn't a terrorist group. It was people who were fighting for their own freedoms. Yeah, it's just things like that really hit a nerve.
Okay, as we are running out of time, I think we should finish on one question and just discuss white privilege and what you think and what it means to you and how it affects your lives.
What is that?
White privilege.
Okay. I think the term white privilege is often misunderstood, and I mean, it's not to say that like people don't know what they're talking about, and I'm not trying to be insulting, but it's white privilege, it doesn't mean that your life can't be hard because you're white. It means that you being white isn't going to make your life any harder. And you know, jokes like, oh, you don't season your chicken or whatever, those aren't making your life any harder in any way. Like, you benefit from the systems that are currently in place, and you need to accept that. And it's not, and I'm not saying that you won't have bad experiences at all because you're white, but it's just, you know, you aren't facing systemic discrimination. You aren't facing things like that.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just the little things that people don't think about, such as Nicole gave some really good examples the other day. So like getting a plaster and it not matching your skin colour, and it's supposed to be nude. on lipstick that's supposed to be nude and it's not matching your lip color, skin color either. It's going to a shop looking for a dull that looks like you, or maybe a foundation shade that matches you, and just not finding it. It's the little things that people just don't really think about.
Yeah, it's not always the massive things. It's not always you're less likely to be stopped and searched, but it is, it's so ingrained in our society. And you know, the standard, the default, it's white. I mean, you open a game, you open a default character, they're more than likely white if, you know, they're human. And people just don't appreciate what this means. When you look at the soaps and stuff you buy, what color is the person advertising it? Yeah. More than likely, it's going to be white. It's like...
Definitely. But I think there have been developments in that, and you are starting to see a lot more kind of diverse models, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's things that I would never think about. I just carry on my life. I go to the shop, I get a plaster, and it just sort of, life moves on. But I suppose how it's just like a multitude of tiny things just builds up.
Definitely.
Oh, sorry, to go back to the question, yeah. Something that I recently found out that was really shocking is, you know, with skin diseases, a lot of them go undiagnosed in black people and just people with darker tones in general, because one of the most common diagnoses is redness of skin. And of course, if you're dark skinned, you're not going to see that your skin's getting red. I mean, like, you can't tell if I'm blushing, and I'm not even that dark. So it's just, in every aspect, even like the medical field, one that you would consider non-biased, it really just, it, there is privilege shown in there.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeez. Okay, we've got our final question about cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And how it affects you, your views on it, and yeah.
So what do you think about, like, white people having braids?
I have a very strong opinion on white people having braids and dreadlocks. It's mostly just because it's not made for your hair.
Exactly.
And it's like, you may have curly hair, of course. So
it's more of a protective style, for yeah. those who don't know. It's supposed to protect black hair, so it protects it from damage. Yeah.
It's not made for your hair, and it will damage your hair. So, I don't know, I see countless stories of white women getting braids, and then when they take them out, their hair's falling out. It's just like, I told you so. Like, you were warned about this, and you've done it to yourself. And something with dreadlocks, I mean, no, it's not just black people that have dreadlocks, and of course it isn't, but it's just most of the time people are getting it and not realizing the type of care that needs to go into having dreadlocks. I've seen, my dad has dreadlocks, and he's like 6'3", and his dreadlocks drag on the floor.
Really?
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I used to like hold them. But so I know a lot about the care of them. And my dad has told me endless stories about people and their hair rotting inside of their dreadlocks because they just not know how to clean it properly. And it's just, I mean, if I was to get dreadlocks, I know how to clean them. But then who is teaching that to other people when it's just not a part of your culture and you just decide to go and get it? These yeah. things have meaning.
And it's things like Halloween costumes that really get
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that's what's asked about next.
You see just people who are not Native American dressing up in like quite revealing Native American they've obviously been changed like yeah. for the costume, but it's just not appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching this, it was
I just feel like it's mocking.
Yeah,
it's mocking their culture, because it's been like what they're wearing, it's not the exact outfit. That
it's not the exact style, it's not manufactured style, in the yeah. same way.
It's not what a Native American person would be wearing.
Exactly.
And you're kind of modifying it for Halloween just to take photos in it and turn up to a party. I just think it's completely wrong.
Yesterday was quote-unquote Christopher Columbus Day, but a lot of people have now referred to it as Indigenous Peoples Day in America. And I saw something about like Halloween costumes and indigenous dress wear being worn for Halloween costumes. And something that I saw, it was like a picture of one of them in the store, and it was sexy Cherokee princess. And it was just insane. Like, someone's culture isn't yours to manufacture. And it's like, these aren't like the everyday clothes that they walk around wearing as well.
Exactly.
So it's just, it's so annoying. But I mean, there are some issues in which the line is more blurred.
Exactly, the line. Someone was asking me this recently. Where is the line between appropriation and appreciation of culture?
Good wordplay.
Something that I think is the line is just whether or not you truly know enough about the culture to appreciate it. And of course, the setting of which you are using a part of that culture. So I mean, if you were to go to a wedding in a lehenga, in for one of your Indian friends, of course that's totally fine. But then if you're wearing it without trousers because it looks good, that's just, it's such a nerve for, I'm pretty sure, every single Desi person.
Yeah. What about food? I think food.
I don't think you can appropriate food.
Yeah, exactly. No, genuinely, I heard someone say this the other day, but I think that's more appreciation if you're wanting to try the culture's food.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with food, but
however, if like a white person was just walking around in a dashiki, what would you think about that?
I'd be a bit shocked. I'm not going to
lie. By the way, a dashiki is like traditional African wear.
Yeah.
Is it? It's not from the Caribbean.
No, the Caribbean.
It's not. It's African wear. What would you think about it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd be mad. I'd be a bit confused. But
I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it?
It is. I mean, do people wear dashikis like just randomly, like, or is it reserved for certain occasions?
No, people just wear it casually. You can dress it up, you can dress it down. They just wear it whenever they want to.
I personally think, maybe I'm wrong, but if you're wearing it the same way someone else would and it is just casual wear.
They wear it like that in Africa though.
Yeah,
that's
but
how
I
they
mean,
wear in Africa.
If it is just casual wear, then
I'm not sure. Like, you'd really have to, I mean, it's not set in stone, obviously. You need to think about it. It's common sense.
I think if you understand
exactly
a bit of the history behind it.
So your view is that if you don't moderate it and you are literally just taking it how it would be worn, you're not sort of like turning it into a costume, or you're not turning it into a more revealing outfit.
It depends on the context, though.
Yeah, I think when it comes
to
clothes,
you need to use your brain. Do you think other people are going to be offended?
Okay, so Sade's key message: just use your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think with clothes, it does depend on the situation, and there is much more of a blurred line.
Yeah.
When it comes to food, I don't think you can appropriate culture
exactly.
with food. When it comes to hairstyles, just please, I'm begging you, make sure that your hair is not going to fall out. Because, I mean, that just becomes more your problem than it is mine. And you know what? I'm a firm believer in karma. So if you get braids and your hair drops out,
karma's coming for you.
Yeah, I told you so.
Is that the last question? I was enjoying this.
Oh, wait. How do you feel about black scents?
Oh, it really annoys me.
Yeah.
It really annoys me. Because that's not how all black people
speak. One second.
Speak.
A black scent is just a stereotypical black accent. So it's just you're mimicking the way black people speak.
Yeah, because not all black people speak the same.
Oh, definitely.
And it's just kind of suggesting that you think that they do.
Oh my god, the thing about black scents that really gets to me is when people use them in the UK, they're not even using like stereotypically black British slang. They're using African American dialect to try and speak to me, a black British girl, and it's just like, I'm as lost as you are. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know why you're trying to impress me with this type of dialect. And it's kind of just like, would you use this accent in an interview?
No.
Would you use this accent at a funeral? in the classroom.
No, it's mocking it. They're exactly mocking it.
And something that you see quite often is people are using these accents when they either want to seem aggressive or they want to seem funny, and it's just like
insulting them to them.
Yeah, it's so insulting. Stereotypical. It's just like, right, so black people are only here for comedic relief and we're all aggressive. It's just, there are wider pictures behind all of these smaller microaggressions that you see.
Yeah.
It's just, and I think that's one of the main things with like randomly touching people's hair.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I'm so glad you brought, I'm not joking. I was watching this thing with my mum. I showed it to my dad as well. It was like a BBC video that they did. Things not to say to a mixed race person and things not to say to a black person. Honestly, it was so relatable. But they were just on about how people would come up to you and randomly touch your hair. I'm not joking.
Without like your permission?
They just come up and touch your hair. It actually happened. They just come and start stroking your hair. It's like, gosh, am I a cat or a dog? Why are you stroking my hair?
Do you know something that I get really often? Is almost every time my hair is in a bun, someone will come and put their hand around my entire bun and just squeeze it. What the hell are you doing? And then, oh my gosh, in my secondary school, there was this one girl who would do it notoriously, and she'd make like a honk sound. Like the horns the clowns would hold. I was just like, what on earth is going on?
No, I'm not even joking. Last year, I was in an assembly, and I just felt a strong tug to one of my braids. I'm not sure if it was purposely, I'm not sure if it was accidentally, but I just turned around, gave them the most evil stare. It was more like, what do you think that you're doing? But yeah, people... Like, when I sometimes have my hair out, I mean, I sometimes don't mind. If you're genuinely curious and you ask me, like, oh, can I feel your hair? I don't mind that. And if I know totally you and we're friends, that's absolutely fine. It's just random people just coming up and touching your hair.
Yeah, personally, my hair's quite soft. I'm proud of it. You ask me, I'll let you touch it. But please, please do not come up to me and grab my hair.
I mean, if you're friends, it's less bad because obviously you're comfortable.
Yeah, like they, you
if
have
I don't know you, get away from me.
It has happened with people you don't know before. It's just like, wow, your curls look so nice. Bam, the hand is on your head.
It's
already on its way whilst they're telling you.
No, the hand's already in the hair before they even ask.
Oh, and the thing is, though, I've had my curl pattern actually messed up. I remember one time this girl just, like, pulled one of my curls. She's like, wow, your hair's much longer than it looks. And it just, it didn't shrink back up.
It's called shrinkage.
Yeah.
Little lesson. So my hair is curly. If you pull it, it is going to get straighter because it coils up and obviously it's going to look shorter.
Yep, and my hair was just messed up for the rest of the day, and I had a pure vengeance that whole day. I was just angry. I was just like, don't touch my hair without asking me.
Yeah. Honestly, I need to show you that video. No, I think I watched it and I immediately messaged you, and I messaged my other friend as well. I was like, you have to watch this. It was so relatable.
I don't think
it's no. And another thing is, they're like, oh, you're very well spoken for a black person. It's like, really.
I got that so much at the start of lower sixth.
And especially.
Really?
Yeah. So many teachers. So many people turn to me. It's like,
they sound
you're
surprised.
A bursary student? You sound so well spoken. Yeah. Thank you. yes, I am less economically advantaged than you are. No, I am not an animal. I do speak English. It was shocking. I wasn't expecting to get it so much. It's like, your accent's so posh, you're so well spoken. It's just like,
for me, it's not so much here, but when I'm just speaking, if I just go somewhere and I'm speaking, you can see the look of surprise in their face because they just weren't expecting me to sound like that.
Oh,
expecting me to sound less well spoken.
Is there something like, can't think of an actual example when this would happen, but someone's talking to you on the phone and they meet you in person.
Yes, that has. My mum has this thing called her white people voice over the phone. So if she's trying to get something done and it hasn't been done, she will call up and she will just speak in that accent. Because once you open and you kind of know that you're dealing with an ethnic minority, a lot of people tend to like not care too much because it's just like, it's just going to be pushed aside. People won't really mind if you don't attend to it. So she just, you know, puts in her strange little voice and gets to talking. And I'm just like, who on earth is this? But yeah, that is an actual thing. I mean, especially in America, I've seen like loads of people like online interviews. Oh, I recently read this tweet and it was just like, I had a online interview because of COVID and I thought it would be over the phone, but it's in person, and I put that I was white on my on my form. And he was like, once I got the job, I was planning to tell them it was an accident, but now that the meeting's on Zoom, there's no way I can fake the look as well as the voice.
Oh my God.
Are there any other questions that you have or any of you guys have? I feel like they're just going to come to me later. There's so many things.
Do you ever get people, like, because, I mean, my mum's very ethnically ambiguous. Do you ever get people telling you that, like, you don't look like any of your parents? Because, I mean, a lot of mixed race people I've seen who are, like, half and half.
I bet they probably just think that I'm adopted. Like, if I'm out with one of my parents, especially my dad, because he is white, I think people just think that I'm adopted. I mean, not everybody, but...
Does that ever bother you that you don't look like maybe some of your cousins on your dad's side?
And my mum's side as well, actually.
So, yeah, on either side.
I mean...
Because, like, for me, I look, like, for a couple of my cousins, I look quite similar. Like, I look similar to... You can definitely, like, we all have similarities with the whole family.
I mean, it's never bothered me as such because my family is just extremely accepting. I mean, why wouldn't they be? But it's never really bothered me at all. They've never ever treated me differently.
Okay.
I mean, why would they? But no, I wouldn't say that it bothers me at all. But what were you going to say? Because I feel like,
sorry, I just remembered the other day I was talking to one of my aunts, and my mum was adopted by a white family when she was younger, and so on her side, my aunts and uncles, they're all white. And the other day, my aunt, after I spoke to her on the phone, she turned to my mum and she was just like, I'm surprised she's so well spoken. And I just realized this was my own aunt, okay? And she was surprised that I sounded posh. She was like, she sounds like me, Maria, not like you. Maria's my mum's name, by the way. And I was just like, because they very much stereotyped my mum as like ghetto whilst they were growing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that something that's still prevalent like in the family now, even yeah, as adults?
They get very surprised when they see me and my young sister Rochelle doing well. Like, Rochelle, she's a genius. She got like all nines. She got 9 9s, an 8, and I think it was either another 8 or a 7. But she did 11 GCSEs. She did amazingly on them, and it was well deserved. It wasn't like a fluke in the system. And she's going to London Academy of Excellence. And I mean, I got my bursary here. And then I remember my grandparents speaking to her, and when they were congratulating her, it felt very condescending, as if, because she had her children quite young as well. It sounded as if they didn't expect her to be a good mother. And it was just, it's kind of upsetting to see, but it's more things that people don't really notice when they're being, you know, racist and stuff.
Do you ever find then that is there a big difference between somebody being ignorant and then somebody being racist?
Yeah, I think most of the time you can tell. If it's all about, I think a lot of it's about intent.
Yeah.
If they've got malicious intentions to try and make you upset, or if they're just saying, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? Why haven't you thought about this? You can tell that ignorance.
But I think a lot of the time people use ignorance as an excuse for their racism. It's like, oh, I had no idea. Me, a 17-year-old, white, shouldn't say the N-word. It's just like, of course you knew. You definitely knew. So I believe there is a distinct difference between ignorance and racism. Of course, sometimes there can be overlap, and just certain microaggressions that people don't realizing that they're perpetuating. But at the same time, ignorance isn't an excuse for it, and it shouldn't be so widely accepted, because everyone's like, he didn't know, it was fine.
But it was like, with good intentions. Even if you do have good intentions, it can still cause as much harm.
Just certain morals, you know, there's a boundary and there are certain lines, and it's like that. And there's also a difference between ignorance and stupidity. It's just like, are you claiming to me that you didn't know, or are you claiming to me that you're an idiot? Because only one of these is coming across.
Going back to what Molly asked me before, how not looking really similar to like your family or your parents. I mean, I would say that my like facial features, I do quite look like, I share some facial features with my parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your response? I'm curious to see what you think.
A lot of my cousins are mixed race. I mean, but I just have so many. I mean, my mum, she has her adopted siblings and then recently got in touch with her birth. Well, I say recently, but it's like 10 years ago. But in her life recently got in touch with her birth family. And they all look different to each other. Because my mum's mixed as well ethnically. So some of like her brothers, two of her brothers are fully Chinese. And I mean, we look nothing alike. Yeah. And that's not something that I really feel bad about.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you don't look like either one of your parents or anyone in your family. They're not going to accept you any less, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's your family and they're gonna love you
regardless.
Either way.
Exactly.
Unless they're very problematic.
Some dysfunctional family.
Yeah. It's just, with most family structures, you will find that it doesn't matter and you still will be loved.
Exactly. Are there any other questions that spring to mind? I genuinely, when I get back to house, there's just gonna be like, oh, why didn't we talk about that? Maybe we should have a sequel to this, little part two.
I think we should. I mean, we've covered a lot of topics and definitely have not fully appreciated everything that you guys have been saying. I think I have might have been living a bit of ignorance perhaps. Yeah, but it was lovely listening to all your opinions. Yeah. I definitely think I've got a wider appreciation and understanding of just generally what you guys think. Yeah. How everything like impacts everything.
What would you say? Sorry, it just sprung to my head. But Molly, this is for you.
Yes.
What would you say that your experience has been here? Obviously you're in the majority, but how would you think that it's been different for us than it would be for you? Like the difference in experience.
Jeez.
So that's a really
deep question. Oh. So how you think our experiences have differed?
Yeah.
But I mean, in a lot of your classes, you are the only girl.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, even though I might not be in the race of minority, I'm definitely in the minority. Yeah.
Let's go into gender really quickly. I know
we did not have time for this.
We don't have time for that.
We're going to have to do another
one. Yeah, we're going to have to do
I'll
that.
Say thank you for everybody that's listening, and thank you for
thank
our amazing...
Yeah, thank you so much. Look out for part two if we ever do one. Thank you so much for listening, and yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, bye from all of us.
Goodbye.